จริญพรตอนเย็นนะทุกท่านทุกคน
Good evening everyone
ลาวกลับมาแล้วปฏิบัติหลายคนก็บอกว่าเป็นเดือนแก้ทุกข์นะแก้ทุกข์บรรเทาทุกข์วิปัสสนาคือการบรรเทาทุกข์นั่งนานก็เป็นทุกข์ก็เดินเดินนานเป็นทุกข์ก็มานั่งนั่งนานเป็นทุกข์ก็นอนอย่างเนี้ยเป็นการบรรเทาทุกข์ไปเรื่อยๆเรื่อย
ๆ So we together practice to listen our suffering or pain. So when we see it, we have feeling of pain, our knees, our legs, so you can walk.When you get tired, you can sit or lie down. So all kinds of these postures you can do to lessen your suffering.
ท่านจึงว่าอิริยาบถ4เนี่ยมันบังทุกข์ยืนเดินนั่งนอนเราว่าเป็นสุขอ่ะที่จริงมันเป็นทุกข์นั่นน่ะ
So these are the four postures actually blocking us to away from suffering. So these are four postures actually we think that is a happiness, but actually it is blocking us to from away from all kinds of suffering, in fact.
ท่านจึงว่าเห็นทุกข์ก็เห็นธรรมนะเห็นธรรมก็เห็นทุกข์เพราะฉะนั้นทุกข์กำหนดรู้สมุทัยเป็นต้องละทุกข์นี่กำหนดรู้ซะก่อนว่าโอ้มันทุกข์แน่นี่แต่ความโกรธโลภหลงมันไปมันมาอันนั้นมันเป็นเรื่องคนละเรื่องแต่เราเห็นตัวนี้ก่อนยืนเดินนั่งนอนเป็นทุกข์หายใจเข้าออกกับพริบตาเป็นทุกข์ขังอนิจจังอนัตตานี่ก่อน
So the point is toUnderstand the suffering that we experience by walking, sitting, sleeping, lying down. So, to understand that, we need a kind of insight meditation to understand, to penetrate. So, when you see the reality of the suffering,And you will see the way to get out of it. And slowly you begin to see also the impermanence of life. Also no self that you will begin to see step by step.
ท่านจะว่าเป็นทางแห่งความบริสุทธิ์นะอนิจจังทุกขังอนัตตาผู้ใดเห็นนี่เป็นทางแห่งความบริสุทธิ์หมดจด
So this is the purity of we are kind of giving to understand, giving ourselves to understand the impermanence of life. And suffering does exist in our life. And we see those things are not belong to us actually, which is in another word we say no self.
ปัตตจลาแกเห็นทุกข์นะเมื่อเห็นทุกข์แล้วเห็นธรรมแล้วโอ้ลูกตายผัวตายมันเป็นทุกข์เด้เนี่ยที่จริงผัวก็ไม่ได้มีลูกก็ไม่ได้มีหรอกตัวเราก็ยังไม่มีเลยก็เลยหมดทุกข์เลย
So Master was telling us he remind us the story of Patachara one of the ladies in Buddha's time who had a husbandand baby and all of them died and she suffered a lot because of her husband died and baby just born and died
พ่อก็ตายผัวก็ตายแม่ก็ตายไฟก็ไหม้บ้าน
and all her parents died because of fire in the house and all houses also gone and she had in fact no family left no relatives left and finally she realized that In fact, there is no family, there is no baby, there is no husband, in fact, because there is no self.
พระพุทธเจ้าเลยเธอในหาสติมาหลายปีหลายครบหลายชาตินะเธอมีสติหรือยังสติมีนะมีสติมีหิริแก่และสำนึกคุณได้โอ้ใช่ใช
่ So when she came to the Buddha, you know, Buddha just remind her that you have been looking for mindfulness since a long, long time in her past life or something. So this time she begin to understand that she just lose her mindfulness. That's how she became unconscious about her own life. And that's how she suffered a lot when her family died. Once she came back and be conscious and mindful, and she saw the Dharma, meaning she saw the reality of life, that there is in fact no self. And that's how she got enlightened after.
The Buddha said that the body is the body. If you hold it, hold it, you don't have to hold it. The body is the body. If you hold it, hold it, you
don't have to hold it. So the Buddha emphasized that in fact, the body and mind is a main thing that create us problems in our life. So that's the main point here, as Buddha emphasized. So you're welcome to, you know, share your experiences and discuss about the Dharma if you like. Ajahn said.
Body and our mind are the cause of our suffering, or that is where our suffering lies. But without a body and without a mind, there's nothing here. There's no beginning, there's no end, there's no coming, there's no going, there's nothing.
Right. เป็นเหมือนกันถ้าใจกับร่างกายบ่มีมันก็บ่มีทุกข
์ถูกต้องแต่ใจกับกายมีอยู่แต่บ่มีทุกข์ก็มีพระพุทธเจ้าก็ตรัสรู้แล้วอรหันต์ก็ตรัสรู้แล้วแต่มีทุกข์มีกายกับใจอยู่แต่บ่มีทุกข์มันก็อยู่ไปหลายปีได
้ So Master said yes, body and mind with suffering body when body and mind exists of course suffering exists but someoneBody and mind still there, but there is no suffering also, like a Buddha, like enlightened persons, enlightened beings. They still have body and mind, but they don't have kind of suffering.
I'll share a teaching I received on my journey maybe like 12 or 13 years ago.It's been coming up for me in mind and understanding. It was a few years after meeting Ajahn Dah and beginning this practice. And I was with a friend showing her the Chen Yang Monastery in Carmel. And it was late in the day, we were the last ones there. Met another couple and connected with them and kind of.Walk through the gardens and the center together, and we're down at the koi pond. And it was getting late, and a woman came up to us and was letting us know, hey, it's closing, it's time for you guys to go. And you know, the conversation was stimulating we were having a difficult time saying goodbye, and you know, it's beautiful there, but we continued our way out to the gate with this woman escorting us, so to say, and you know, she kind of pulled the gate closed behind us, and had this bed with a refrigerator and usually food and refreshments inside because I was living out of it, so I just served them some drinks and we continued our conversation. An older monk came walking down the driveway at that point. And, you know, years later, when I've gone back and looked to see who he was the president of the monastery at that time. And he came down and walked up to us. And his teaching at that time was, when you come into the world, everything is yours. And when you leave, nothing is. The burden is someone else's. And the teaching was so important to him, he kind of like joyfully spent as much time as he could on the road with us, and the question kind of came up, hey, we're going camping. And he opened the gates. I mean, the teaching was so important to him. He's like, you know, this monastery is yours, this land is yours, Barack Obama is working for you. Like, and essentially we spent the night there, and
wow,
everything was available, all the buildings were open, and it was really important to him to relay this teaching in particular. He kept saying it to me, you know, when you come to this world, everything is yours. And when you leave, nothing is, the burden of someone else's. And I would joke with him about my car driving up, and he really treated us like, you know, we were Krishna or something, like made sure he took pictures with us and really celebrated the moment that we were there with him. And it's true, I mean, we have this responsibility to the world we're living on, and if we're truly, you know, in this divine lila and coming through again and again, this karma is just coming back to us if we're making a mess of things. And this practice is important because it really requires mindfulness and consciousness first to see body and mind and suffering. And you know, it's hard for me to put in words in this moment, but I can see, you know, how that relates too. Like, this body isn't mine when I come into this world. Well, it is mine. Everything's mine, but when I leave, nothing is, and the burden is someone else's. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there as a teaching for everyone to have to consider that, yes, indeed, when you come into this world, everything is yours. And when you leave, nothing is, and that burden is someone else's.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, in fact, it's a beautiful, actually, that you have experienced. And yeah, you're right, body is belongs to you. And the another word is say, this body is not belongs to you. Also right, there's no wrong. So in Buddhist terms of view, we said conventional truth and absolute truth. So conventionally we say, yes, body belongs to us. The world belongs to us, or whatever. That's a part of conventional truth. We cannot ignore that. But absolute, we cannot talk. Like, okay, there is no body, there is no mind, there is nothing. Then who is this? You know. So each organs has a name. So that's the point of showing that examples to understand the conventionally. Yes, you're right. This is they does exist. They kind of thing, you know. So another thing is, in a Buddhist terms of view, when we go deeper level in insight way, we say, we talk about the impermanence of life and of course suffering in life and no self. So these are the very unique teachings in Buddhism, which is very very beautiful in fact. Also some kinds of, when we hear about suffering a lot of time, it's very kind of disturbing sometimes. But this is, in fact, we all face it, and this is very universal, actually. So, regardless of any kinds of religion, so this is very human nature we experience. Even our word, in a Pali word, says very clearly, says dukkha, which means in negative way, sukha means in positive way. So du and su, there's two words actually. Dukkha is translated into English as they call suffering. Sukha translated as happiness. So there's only two words are different, su or du. So du is kind of negative, kha means experience. So you experience negative. Su and kha means you experience positive. So meaning in this life we experience only two things, negative or positive. So that kind of things. So sukha means positive experience, meaning happiness is a positive experience. So the negative experience is suffering, which is dukkha, means you experience negative way. So in this world there's only two things in fact. Either you say happiness or unhappiness, meaning you experience either good way or bad way. So that's it. So you can expand it like, okay, satisfaction is happiness, dissatisfaction is unhappiness, pain is unhappiness, suffering, all those kinds of, you stay away from your family, also suffering. The one who you don't like and you associate with them is suffering. You know, you can expand it. Buddha expanded that, actually, you know, Buddha described a lot of things. But in fact, when he come back to conclusion, he concluded that, in fact, the body and mind is suffering. So that's the main point of the Buddha. So when we understand our body and mind, so we will be able to understand ourselves better. Yes.
Well, something that I've been taught here for years is thoughts. So we have a body, which we use in practice, and we have a mind, which thoughts come into. And what I've always been taught by you guys is that it's the thoughts come through and the idea is to not attach to them. Whether they're very positive or very negative, because thoughts come, Anshan Nifon teaches this very much, often. They come in very fast. You can't stop thought. But you can let a thought go or you can grab onto it. I always think of that for myself as sometimes the ego gets big and says, oh, I can control these thoughts, and you can't, and that causes suffering. So does that make any sense? Still makes sense? Is that true?
I don't understand. When ความคิดนี่มาแล้วมันก็บ่สามารถควบคุมได
้หยุดบ่ได้ติบ่ไปแต่แล้วตั้งทนไม่เลยๆอยู่กับปัจจุบันให้ใจเขาออกมันคิดได้คิดแล้วก็แล้วไปคิดแล้วก็แล้วไปนั่นๆเขาเลยจืดไปเลยตอนนั้น
The master said, when thoughts arise, just let it be. You don't have to react upon it. It will, until it stay, you know, end. Kind of like, okay, let him flow, like a river flow from a mountain, and finally it will end in the ocean. So let your thought flow. Don't react.More you react, more new thoughts come and make you complicate.
State the obvious. It's very difficult accepting that you're impermanent, the body is impermanent, without, for me specifically, it has to be black or white. It has to be this way or that way. But the fact is, we're here now, we don't know how long, but you shouldn't worry about that. And that's,very hard for me to wrap my head around.
มันเขามีอยากที่จะปล่อยวางได้ที่ว่าอนิจจังมันเหตุจากใดเขามีความคิด
ทุกค คนเนี่ยเห็นความคิดมีความคิดอยากบ่อยากให้มันเปลี่ยนแปลงบ่อยากให้มันถูกเลยอันนี้จังมันเปลี่ยนแปลงอยู่ตลอดเลยร่างกายของเราเปลี่ยนแปลงตลอดเพราะฉะนั้นก็เปลี่ยนแปลงในรับทราบรับรู้เมื่อรับรู้ความเปลี่ยนแปลงแล้วไอ้ความถูกมันก็เลยไหลไปน้ำหายไปน้ำหมดไปน้ำก็เกิด
You know, we all desire that. We don't want change and we don't want to see things changing. We always want things to be as it is.Even our own body always wanted to be in the exact, you know, always fit in, I would say. So when you see the changing nature and you will see the dharma, you will see the reality in there. So it's kind of accepting. It is not holding. So it is different slightly.So it's a kind of nature, so we cannot stop that, just to see it. And the problem is, I think,Intellectually, we understand very well because our human brain, you know, can understand very well. But the problem is, you know, daily basis that we experience, and sometimes we forget because of not being mindful, and we get upset, and that's how our, you know, unpleasant experience arises without noticing it.
It's difficult to say, and it's easier to say when bad things happen, this won't last forever, than when good things happen.But we're kind of mindfulness is like the meeting in between.
Correct. Closing the gap.
Yes.
หมดแล้ว
สมควรเก็บเวลา
จอห์น
จอห์น
Have said anything
โอเ
ค was just thinking about the nature of suffering I know for myself thatMy suffering can come from listening to my mind when it comes up with negative kinds of thoughts. I was after the rains came.I had trouble with my telephone, and it would work 1 minute, and then it would stop working the next. And I have a tendency to go to a dark place when stuff happens that I'm not happy about. And I came up with a thought that obviously was not true, but it wasn't initially apparent to me. I thought that my phone wasn't working because somebody was out to get me. And in the past, I have run into some severe problems by getting attached to thoughts like that and telling myself some story that would have a unhappy ending. And luckily, well, not luckily, I work hard at this, through meditation, I get to know the nature of my thinking. It's insight meditation. You get insight into how your own mind works. Thoughts come up and you acknowledge them and let them be, and they go away if you're any good at meditation. And you can get good at meditation if you practice it. Like you practice anything, you get good at it. And I've gotten better at noticing the nature of my thoughts and been able to recognize that a thought like that, that they're out to get me, is not a wholesome thought. And I'm learning not to let myself get away with getting attached to negative thinking. And it's just more and more has resulted in less and less suffering for me. So grateful for that.
Thank you.
I think that's the most enlightening thing that I've got from coming here, is that a thought is just a thought. And I used to always believe my thoughts. I thought that was the truth or the reality. And to see it's just a reflection and not more than that. That's the most freeing thing.
Good to watch.
Yeah, thank you.